Hey, if you would, open your Bibles this morning, the book of Matthew, chapter number 5. Matthew, chapter number 5. Back in October, I was trying to bring you a series out of the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. I entitled that series of messages, God Left a Light On. And I tried, honestly tried, to get away from that. But the Lord wouldn't let me. And so I want to try to pick up more or less where I left off with the studies back in October. And I don't know if you remember or not, I gave you a brief outline about how God has left the light on. And I am so grateful that He did. Now we know for a fact that the Lord Jesus Christ is the light of the world. The Bible says God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. In the very beginning, when Adam sinned against God, the lights went out. In 1972, a man by the name of Bobby Russell wrote a song, and it was performed by Vicki Lawrence. Some of you may remember that song, "The Night the Lights Went Out in Georgia." But that's not very important. What's important is that even though the lights went out there in the Garden of Eden, God left the light on. And it's because of that light that we're able to stand here this morning as a child of God and worship our Savior. I could look through the scriptures, and I'm sure there are more, but I distinctly saw five ways that God continues to shine forth that light in this dark world in which we live. First of all, of course, is the light of the Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ. The light of the Scriptures. The light of the sanctuary, the church. The light of the saints. God's people. And I think we can even see the light of the shepherd. The pastor of the church is to be a light, to shine forth to the flock, to reveal the Lord Jesus Christ to the people. And for some reason, God has influenced me to use the light of the saints to speak to you this morning. And as I began to look at this, a question came into my mind. Who are we? Who am I? Who are you? What am I? What are you? What are we? The Bible answers that question. Let's read Matthew chapter number 5. I want to read the first 16 verses. Matthew 5 verse 1, the Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him. And He opened His mouth, and He taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out, to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I think the answer to my questions is found right there in those two verses, verses 13 and 14. Who are we? What are we? Why are we? The Bible says we're the salt of the earth. We're the light of the world. Has it ever occurred to you as a child of God that you have a responsibility to portray Christ in your life everywhere you go? Everything that you do, every word that you say, ought to influence someone around you to the fact that you are a child of God and there's something different about your life. The Bible says, ye are the light of the world. The Bible also says in John chapter number 8 that he is the light of the world. There's no contradiction there. The only light that we have, the only light that we can have, is Christ living in us. He is the light. And just as surely as these light bulbs here, the old-fashioned kerosene lamps, flashlights, whatever, the only way that that light can shine is for there to be a source of that light. We are nothing but instruments that God uses to shine through. You know, the Bible says we were sometimes darkness, but now are we lights. And we ought to let our lights so shine before this lost and dying world that they can see Christ, not us. In this context that we have here, in this Sermon on the Mount, we see how Christ is teaching the people that we are lights. And as such, we are to glorify God, not ourselves. He distinctly ridiculed the Pharisees, the religious people, because all of their focus and everything that they did was to put themselves on a pedestal where people could see them and their good works. The only works that we have is God working through us. The only light we have is God shining through us. The light of His saints is a light that is still shining in this lost and dying world. Ye are the light of the world. Ye. God gets personal. And I think we need to take it personally. God is speaking to us as individuals. He's speaking to us as His children. We are the light of the world. Look in Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1. Notice what, let's try to put ourselves in this chapter here. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, And he opened his mouth and he taught them. Jesus seeing the multitudes. Everywhere Jesus went, he attracted a multitude of people. And Jesus looked out and he saw this multitude of people. I believe he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. I believe he saw them as people that needed God in their lives. I think he saw these people as wanderers in the wasteland. People walking about in darkness, living in this world but having no hope of God in their lives. That is the very purpose that Jesus came into this world. It's to shed forth that light, that hope, that God can do a work in us. Those of us who were rebels against God, those of us who was walking away from God, doing everything we could to antagonize God. But God condescended, Brother Tommy, came into this world and manifested himself to us as light. Now you can go into a room or you can go outside in the dark and it'd be pitch black. And I'm gonna be personal with you. I don't like total darkness. There's just something about darkness that I don't like. But my point is, in total darkness, regardless of where you're at and what you're doing, just one little pinprick of light will get your attention. And that's what light is for. It is to reveal and to push back the darkness. There in the book, in Genesis, in chapter number 1, when God created the heavens and the earth, it was without form and void. But God spoke light into existence. And because of that light, life began. There is no life without light. And it's the same way in the child of God's life. Just as surely as God spoke light into existence to begin with, he still does that today. He speaks his word, and through his word, we become children of God. God is speaking to us today in many different ways. One of them, of course, is the scriptures. But he says, ye are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Cindy, you're the light of the world. Brother Larry, you are a light that God wants you to shine forth wherever you go. Hannah, you are a light. We are lights. Are we letting our lights shine? Are we fulfilling our responsibility as the children of God in letting Christ shine through us? Ye are the light of the world. This signifies that the world is in darkness. And we know that is a fact. You look around us. You watch the activities going on around us. And we can see that this world is in darkness. And it's our responsibility to shine. Let our light so shine before men that they can see our good works and glorify God. We don't get the glory. We should never strive to obtain glory. The glory goes to God. Ye are the only light in this world. You know, In your home, you are to be a light to your children, to your spouses, to your neighbors. In your community, you are to be lights to those that you come in contact with. Everywhere you go, you are to be lights. And you can rest assured, I can't help but think of Walmart when I was thinking of this, or anywhere else you go shopping, or anything else you do in this world today. You look around you, you see very little light. You see a lot of darkness, but you see very little light. Sometimes we'll go to a restaurant in LaGrange where all the lights are out. All they've got is a candle burning on the table. And I, for one, don't particularly like that because I like to see what I'm eating. But you be sitting there and it's dark. And all you can see is a light here, and a light here, and a light here. And that's the way it is with us. Brother Tommy lives in Louise. Brother Charles lives in Union. Brother Richard lives in Grantville. We are lights that God has placed in this dark world to shine forth His glory. And it's our responsibility to do that. Ye are, we ought to take it personal. We ought to take it that way. It's not just that we are super Christians. We are not. We are just lights. And that light comes from God. And that light ought to shine every day of our lives. Ye are the light of the world. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. I'm sure that a lot of us can remember, I know I can remember times when there was no electricity in the house. You use lamps as a source of light. And in order for you to be able to see, you had to have kerosene in that lamp. And you had to have a wick that would conduct the kerosene out of the container up into the wick. And then you would light that wick. And because of the light, lighting that wick, you would have light. But you would put a globe down over that light, that wick, and you would adjust it to a certain place and it would shine its light through the room. But if you did not keep that wick trimmed, it would begin to smoke. And the more it smoked, the more cloudy that the globe would get. And the more cloudy that it would get, the less light that it would produce. And the Bible says, let your light so shine. You see, folks, it is our responsibility to keep our wicks trimmed. If we do not, we will begin to sputter. And we will not be burning as brightly as God intends for us to do. We must constantly be at work in trimming the wicks in our lives. If you let that thing burn long enough and do not trim that wick, it will create a row of carbon across it. And it'll get to where you can barely get it to light. You can't hardly get it to burn. We have to keep it trimmed. And it's the same way in our lives. We are the light of the world. And as such, we need to keep our wicks trimmed. We are Christians because we have been made Christians. We did not make ourselves Christians. We are lights because we have been made lights. There is no light within us outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christians because God has recreated us to be Christ-like. Notice these two verses, 13 and 14, where the Bible says, "Ye are the salt of the earth, and ye are the light of the world." Now these are similitudes. And that word similitude, I've got it wrote down here somewhere. Let me see if I can find the definition that I looked up. I'm not even going to try to pronounce the Hebrew word. It means something that is fashioned out. It's an embodiment. It's a manifestation. It's an image. It's a likeness. It's a form. In other words, what the Bible is trying to show us here in these two verses, that we are similitudes. We are likenesses. We should be embodiments of the Lord Jesus Christ living in us. We should be embodiments of the light that He is shining forth through us. There's many instances in the Bible where we find similitudes used. And I want to just use one this morning for the sake of time. This got a hold to me. I'd never seen this before, never thought of it but in this light before. And most of the time in the Bible you see the word similitude. It's the word similitude. But as I said, it means image. It means likeness. Look with me, if you would, in the book of Genesis chapter number 1. Although this word similitude is not expressly stated in this verse, I believe we can see it. Genesis chapter number 1, verse number 26. "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." Why did God create man? He did so as a representation of Himself. We are images of God. We are similitudes of God. God created us for the express purpose of obtaining glory for Himself through His creation. And when God recreated us in regeneration, and the Lord Jesus Christ took up His abode in our lives, we are to let our light shine before this lost and dying world. We, brothers and sisters, are living in a dark world. I honestly believe that we are going to be held accountable to God as to how we allowed our lights to shine. This is a solemn responsibility to be a child of God. God has saved us for a purpose. He's recreated us for a purpose. And that's to be His representatives, to let our light so shine before this lost and dying world that they can see the glory of God in our lives. Brother Barney, when people that you knew years ago, people that you grew up with, they know who you were and what you were in those days. And it may have been years since you've seen some of them, but you come in contact with them again. they're the same as they used to be, and they want to bring up the very same things that you were all had in common at the time. But you're no longer the same person you were then. You're a totally different person because God's done a work in your life. And God wants you to be a light that shines out to those people. God wants them to see that there's something different about you now. That difference is not Barney Howard. That difference is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He gets the glory from that. We are just instruments for God's use. Just as surely as these light bulbs here in these chandeliers, they are nothing but instruments that we use for light. And just as surely, you turn the light on in a dark place, that's the first thing you're going to see. And I want to encourage each and every one of you, as we close this morning, let your light shine. That's our responsibility. May Hogansville, Grantville, Louise, Noonan, see light from your lives. Our Father, we thank You once again for the privilege to stand. I ask You, Father, to help us as Your people to fulfill the responsibilities You placed upon us to be Your representatives in this lost world, this dark world. Help us, Lord, to keep our wicks trimmed, that our lights may shine forth, that people may be able to see the glory of God in our lives. May it create a thirst within their hearts and souls to come to You, turn their lives over to You, and allow You, Lord, to have control of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.